Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we take a look at the second book of Kings. And in this particular passage here, we have Hezekiah. And Hezekiah is really, there really is an attempt to intimidate him by the envoys of the king of Syria. They're really trying to intimidate, as I said, Hezekiah. So listen to this. This is very, you see where strength is. And oftentimes, you know, even you and I, we can get intimidated by situations. And the closer we are to the Lord, the more we're listening to him, the more we're letting his word shape our life, the more we're in a position to have clarity, especially if we're being attacked or if we're being threatened. And we need clarity. It comes if we really are seeking, actively seeking to follow the Lord day in and day out. He gives us strength in times of difficulty. So Sennacherib, king of Syria, sent envoys to Hezekiah with this message. Thus shall you say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God on whom you rely deceive you by saying that Jerusalem will not be handed over to the king of Assyria. You have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all other countries. They doomed them. Will you then be saved? Whoa, that's a pretty strong form of intimidation. Hezekiah, look what Hezekiah did. He took the letter from the hand of the messengers. He read it. And then what did he do? He didn't answer right away. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord. And spreading it out, this letter, before him, he prayed in the Lord's presence, O Lord God of Israel, enthroned upon the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made the heavens and the earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which he sent to taunt the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and cast their gods into the fire. They destroyed them because they were not gods, but the work of human hands, wood and stone. Therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from the power of this man, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. So he didn't call up his armies. He didn't say, let's strategize here. We're going to be attacked. He didn't let the attempted intimidation lead him. What did he do? He first went to pray. And then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent this message to Hezekiah. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, in answer to your prayer for help against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have listened. This is the word the Lord has spoken concerning him. She despises you, laughs you to scorn, the virgin daughter Zion. Behind you she wags her head, daughter Jerusalem. For out of Jerusalem shall come a remnant, and from Mount Zion survivors. Zeal of the Lord shall do this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not reach this city, nor shoot an arrow at it, nor come before it with a shield, nor cast up siege works against it. He shall return by the same way he came, without entering the city, says the Lord. I will shield and save this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. God came to their rescue. Why? Because the king was really trying to do what was right. And because in his incredible dilemma that he found himself, where he was going to be attacked, what did he do first? He went to prayer. And then a prophet comes to him with a word that he can trust. And that night, the angel of the Lord went forth and struck down 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, broke camp and went back home to Nineveh. How many times, brothers and sisters, do we get intimidated by people who want us to do this or that or the other thing? Where do we go first when we're up against it? Do we call up good friends? Do we call up our lawyers? Do we call up good counselors? What do we do? How many of us, as the very first thing we do in a difficult situation at work or home or parish or wherever, is the first thing we do going to God? That indicates, brothers and sisters, how much we're relying on God. Because if we exhaust all our sources and then finally we go to the Lord, it's not going to bear too much fruit. Although God's merciful. You did get to him eventually. But the most important thing is to go to him first. Then consult people that you trust. Then go back to him. He's the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He's the one we go to first. He's the one we go to in the middle, and he's the one we go to at the end. Always. Always turning to him. Allow yourself to begin to think, especially when you're in a dilemma. It's fine to turn to good friends. It's fine to turn to, and right, to turn to good friends and spiritual directors and all of that. But first, go to the Lord. And don't gossip about it, because that just opens you to hearing all kinds of advice, some of which may not be good at all. When people yield to gossip, we end up in trouble. God's trying to make it so clear to us, brothers and sisters, in so many situations, come to him first. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Remember the times when I've been in trouble and not known what steps to take or path to take, and I've just sat before the Lord. Sometimes I didn't even have words to say. I would just sit there. And I might even leave there not having any more clarity than I had before, even after an hour or so. But then when the time comes and it needs to be dealt with, inspiration comes. Someone else comes up to me and gives me input that's helpful. Those who wait upon the Lord will benefit and be blessed. But you see, we're such a people of got to do it now. And that's yielding to the world's pressures. You want to be with the Lord. Beginning, middle, and end of a difficult situation, go to the Lord. Sit there quietly. Even when you think, well, I didn't come out of here with any more wisdom, wait till you go into the situation. And if you still don't get anything, just say, I don't know yet. And they'll say, we've got to make a decision. Yes, but I want to make the right decision. I want us to make the right decision. Let's pray. It takes a bit of courage to do that. But it bears fruit. It bears tremendous fruit. Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, and then verses 12 to 14. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, or throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many." That's, you know, when you give in to your own anger, your own bitterness, your own hatred, your whatever, it leads to destruction. It just does. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So Scripture is acknowledging exactly what it feels like, what it can feel like for us. We want to get something done. And if we look like we're acting efficiently and we're talking to lots of people and we're getting a consensus and we're trying to figure out the way to go, all that kind of thing, I'm not saying it's not that it's bad, but it has a place. It has a place. It's not the first and the last places you go. The first place you go to is God. If you're leading something and you don't have the wisdom or the insight, and even if you think you have the wisdom or the insight, take it to the Lord. spend time, wait on him. You might shock people when you say, well, I took some time to talk to God about this or pray about this. But you'll touch people. They might ridicule you right there. Oh, you turned to God. We're not good enough, huh? You can hear those kinds of things being said. And it's difficult when you're in a hard situation or family is against you. But you keep going to the Lord saying, teach me, lead me, guide me, show me. And he does. There's a little article by a saint who said, blessed is the man who isolates his way of life far from the company of irreligious men, no longer dwelling in the path of sinners or sitting in the seat of corruption, but who concentrates his whole heart on God's law, pondering night and day his commands for life's conduct, and ennobling his mind and his habits with purity. He will be like a river tree, which feeds on the nourishing moisture of the bank, soon to yield its fruit in fullness at the due time, green with the foliage that never withers. He will endure as a living wood with undying leaves. Quite an analogy, isn't it? Those who trust in the Lord will not be put to shame. Scripture says that. But how strong is our faith? You know what I think? At best, sometimes, and I'm saying this rather harshly, but let me just say it. Sometimes at best, we figure it out, and then we go to God, and we ask God to bless what we've already decided. Do you see how that happens to us? It certainly happens to me. I think about something, and I think, that's it. That's the way we go. And then I go to the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. Please bless it. But I didn't actually seek the Lord beforehand. I didn't spend time with God beforehand. I didn't read Scripture beforehand so that my mind might be fixed on the truth of a situation. When you get those particular disciplines, when you get them, put them into practice, it takes time. It's awkward. But when you put that time with the Lord at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end, when you look at a situation and keep God in the central place, you're going to be far more blessed than your own ideas could possibly come up with. Even if you say at the end, well, I'm doing what I thought I should do at the beginning, that's all right. You've put it in God's hands. And if God wants to say anything, you're giving him plenty of opportunity to do so. Does that take an extra day? Yes. Does that may perhaps foul up your timeline? Perhaps. But if you do it, it will bear fruit abundantly, not just for you, not just for your life, not just for your family, certainly not just for your business, but for all the people who come in contact with you and come in contact with the fruit of the work of your hands. May God use you to bring many, many people to himself. Humble yourself, seek the Lord, and he will show you the way. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.